are resuming. Yesterday we started our discussion of a very chashuv sefer. It's called, in Hebrew, it's called Shorshei Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, this week's parasha, after the Mabel, Pasuk says, Vayu Kol Ha'om. I'm probably not saying correctly. Sofo Achas. All of the inhabitants of the earth spoke. Lynchner. His name is Yehuda Lynchner. It's a brand new sefer. A younger man. Person, it sounds like from the sefer, he's probably in his 30s. He lives in Eretz.
There was a rabbi Lynchner.
Yeah, no, that
would have
been a second cousin.
It must be. So Mr. Marilla says it's the second cousin first removed. Mr. Marilla, he knows. He knows. Ruach HaKodesh. He knows.
Shagafayel Mendelovich,
his son-in-law. Okay, I would imagine there's some relationship. How many Lynchners do we know? Who knows? Whatever. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. The name, I don't know anything about the author. The only thing I know is he has his name. His name is Lynchner. It appears that he lives in Eretz Yisrael. It appears he has a relationship with Rav David Cohen, the Rosh Hashiva of Chevron. He wrote a beautiful Haskama. And he has another Haskama from Hagoyin HaGadol Rabbi Nosson Rothman. Me Roshe Yeshivois Nisivois Chochma. I'm not familiar with this, where this is. A yeshiva called Nisivois HaChochma. He calls him Hagoyin HaGadol. That's a term that they use in Eretz Yisrael for the major league. Roshe Yeshivois. Eliezer. His first name.
Which is a bigger title, Hagoyin or Hagoyin HaGadol?
So in Eretz Yisrael today, there's a convention, there's a standard. Hagoyin HaGadol is only used today by, I guess, like, you know, people who are Russia yeshivas of the major league yeshivas. There's a certain, they don't, every, today is inflation, every younger man is called a goyin. Anyone who learns in Kollel, is called a goyin. But you don't play around with the term Hagoyin HaGadol. Hagoyin HaGadol is a term that's reserved for people of much greater stature who are positions. Chas, why do you say that? It's not nice to say that. That's not nice to say that, please. A gadol? I don't know. There's a certain. How do I know this? I know because I have my brother lives in Eretz Yisrael and he could do writing a matseva, and he explained to me when there was a certain convention that the Americans are clueless. Americans are clueless in this, but in Eretz Yisrael there's a certain convention of terms that are used regarding stature in order to get an appreciation of where the person stands. Okay, hierarchy. That's the way it is. Come back in 20 years, and there'll probably be a new.
Was that created there? Or did
it just came about. It came about. They. I don't know. They called Rav Chaim Kanievsky the Tsar HaTorah. Who invented that term? Where did that come from? Who invented it? How come it took hold? The Tsar HaTorah. Somebody asked me, who's now the Tsar HaTorah? It's a term that somehow was accepted. How did it happen? Okay, the term Haredi. How did the term Haredi come? That's also, we had a whole discussion. The term Haredi, how did that term come about? Whatever it is, it took years until somehow it catched on, but the people who wrote the newspapers, they whatever. All right, that's not our topic. Let's learn the sugya. Everybody said, please, listen. So yesterday we discussed Sofa Achas. That Rashi says that before the Migdal Bavel, the entire world spoke one language, Lashon HaKodesh. That was the language that was spoken by the entire world when everyone got together and they decided to build the Migdal, to rebel against Hashem, to build the Migdal Bavel. It says Hashem was confused their languages. And Rashi says that every people, you would ask for a brick, and the person would give you cement. And then you would say, you idiot, I asked you for a brick, not cement. you would get into a fight and crack open the person's head. And that was the end of the milk. When there was a lack of communication, then the world, it was dispersed. It was 70. They were not united. Hashem brought this about. Hashem brought about a division of language. Language, people who divided into 70.
When they went home, they couldn't speak to their wife in the same language. That's very hard to understand.
I don't know what it means, though. Maybe their wife, they did speak to. Obviously, there's a lot more to the story. And Rashi and Chazal are just giving us the Rashi Prakim. Obviously, there's a lot more to the story. There was some type of division. There was some type of machlokes which resulted in the humanity dividing themselves up into 70 groups. And what made each group unique was their method, their form of communication, which is not compatible with the others.
Within your group, they were able to communicate.
Of course.
With their new language.
Each nation identified by their language.
I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to see him by Rabbi Reisman, and he mentioned that Jew in Babel, and one of Israel, a husband and wife, were married, and like somebody had the language, it was different, and the communication.
Communication problems between man and wife. Well, some marriage is very good if they can't communicate.
No, I'm saying something about pronouncing some words in
pronunciation, correct. Okay, this is an infinite topic. The communication, this is where it's all at. All right, and we learned yesterday, we learned that the language, our language is called Lashon HaKodesh, not Lashon HaKodosh. And we discussed the difference between calling the language Lashon HaKodesh versus Kodosh. And we discussed the Rambam, who says the reason why that this Rambam at face value seems to say that there's nothing really unique, special about the holy language. And the only reason why it's holy is because it is reserved for holy matters. It's the language which Hashem spoke to the prophets. It's the language which Hashem, which the Torah is written, which the Mishnayos are written. It is the language which you speak in the Beis HaKnesses. The Nusach HaTfilah is more or less in Hebrew. It's the language you speak in Eretz Yisrael before modern Hebrew was invented. It's the language a person is supposed to speak during holy moments of his life. That's it. But the language itself, according to the Rambam, if you want to take the Rambam at face value, there's nothing holy about the language. The holiness is only shimushi. It is dedicated. It is set aside. It is separated from all of the languages to be used exclusively for holy matters. And that is what the Rambam says. And the Rambam also says something else. Is it the Rambam? Okay, we're forgetting. Why is it? That's one reason. That's one approach as to why it's holy. That's not what I'm making. That I don't know if the Rambam said that. Other Mefarshim say that, but the Rambam similarly says that there's nothing really holy about it. And the reason why it's holy is because there are no words in this language that describe the reproductive organs or the act of reproduction. So therefore, there's a certain sensitivity to dvarim, to matters that require tsnius. There are things that are respected that are not for the world to know about, and for discretion. Okay, there's no nivel peh in Lashon HaKodesh. There are no words to describe this act of tsnius. And anytime we need to describe these organs, this behavior, we use borrowed words. V'ho'odom yoda es chavo ishtoi. That's the best thing the Torah can say, that they were engaged in marital relations. Okay, in English, I'm not going to tell you the words. The whole set of vocabulary. If you want to know, just turn on the radio. And listen to the commercials. Shouldn't do that. Okay, I was in the car. That's Chazal's Torah. These are which are terms. I was in the car going to a wedding many years ago. Went to Baltimore. Going to Baltimore in a car with a very, very big Rosh Hashiva sat in the back. And they turned on the radio to listen to the news. And then it came time for the commercials. And the most graphic terms, this is already a problem, 20 years ago, were being said in the commercial. And the Rosh Hashiva, this is a heavyweight Rosh Hashiva, and he went like this with his hands, like this. He was sitting in the front, like this, and the driver just pressed the button, and that was the end of the radio for the rest of the ride. Okay, because of the vulgar terminology that was being you could use your imagination if you don't. You just turn on the radio today, you'll know what I'm talking about. And that is what, fine, there are no such words in the Hebrew language. That's Chazar from yesterday. I want to expand upon that today. He has a big chunk of this Sefer, a nice significant chunk, fascinating stuff, is about the fact that what makes the Hebrew language unique is the separation of Zohar and Nekeva. Now, I'm ignorant. I don't know anything about other languages, but German, French, Spanish, Portuguese, and the whole long English, Latin, you name it. I don't know all the language, anything. The author appears to be fluent in
it's only in Semitic languages.
Now, even in the Semitic languages, and even in the other languages that are unique, okay, we're not talking about dialects, we're talking about even the unique languages.
Arabic
is already part of Hebrew. That's already, Arabic is already, there's Ivris, Aramis, and... okay, they're all cousins of Hebrew. Let's put aside, let's talk about languages that have nothing to do with Hebrew. Zero. Nothing to do with Hebrew. Okay, you know what I mean. There are different degrees of that are not related. So I don't know how to speak these languages. I don't know anything about these languages. I trust the author of this Sefer, who appears to be fluent in the ideas, and he says there's no question in some of the languages there's a differentiation between the terms, nouns, verbs, adjectives of feminine and masculine, but no language goes to the extreme and the detail and the complexity of separation between Zohar and Nekeva. Okay, I don't know either. I told you off the bat, disclaimer, I don't know anything. I don't know how to speak any language. And I don't know, I'm just telling you what it says here. He wrote the book, I trust him. He has a lot to say about this. And he writes here, the other languages, study the other languages, you can probably go online, Google this, and you can study the difference between Zohar and Nekeva. Everybody say. The degree between Zohar and Nekeva, there is no language in the world, it appears, that we know of today, I trust what he says, that has the same, anywhere near the complexity of separation between Zohar and Nekeva, the past, the future, the present, adjectives, adverbs, etzem, nouns. It's very confusing, and all the binyanim, and they have to be all the seven binyanim have to be nuanced and calibrated to fit the subject. Is the subject a Zohar? Is it Nekeva? There are exceptions. The Gemara says explicitly the word derech, for example, derech is lashon Zohar, lashon Nekeva. The Gemara says a derech asher yelchu bo is Nekeva, and then it says another pasuk that says that the word derech. The Gemara says this. The word derech. We have another pasuk that says that it's Zohar. Shabbos is Zohar and Nekeva. Shabbos is mechaleleha most humus, but it says also other psukim.
Of
Shabbos, I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you right now. Let's go right. I think as a whole. That Shabbos, see. Wait. I'll tell you. Wait. We're gonna do. Shabbosois. Wait. I'll tell you the Shabbos. Give me 1 second over here. 1 second. Lekatcha got Shabbos. He Lashem is feminine, but it says Uvayoyim. Hashvihi yelochem kodesh Shabbos Shabbosayim ach kol ho oise bo. Kol ho oise bo.
He's mistaken. It's about the yom. Vayom hashvihi. That's right.
Uvayoyim hashvihi yelochem kodesh Shabbos Shabbosayim la Hashem kol ha'oise bo, melacha mos yumas. V'chein shomer Shabbos mechalleloi. Doesn't say the word yom. Shomu shomer in Yeshaya. Shomer Shabbos mechalleloi. It does not say shomer Shabbos mechalleloi. Mechalolo. Shomer Shabbos mechalleloi. Here it doesn't say the word yom. Yeah? Mechal? The Nusach HaTfilah. What do you say? What do you say? Bo, bum. Friday night?
You have to look at the
whole... Friday night, you switch. Oh, look who's here. Bruchim Aboyim. We have over here an Israeli. We have over here Ezra Fried has arrived from Eretz Yisrael. He still has the dust of the Holy Land on his shoes. Okay? We welcome... Yes.
You have to look at the whole...
100%.
Because you don't know what those pronouns are.
Okay, all right. I'm not going to argue with you. There are look at Shabbos and Shacharis. The nusach of the Shmoyne Esrei in Shacharis is Loshon Zohar. V'loy nisatoy, v'loy hinchaltoy, v'gam b'menuchosoy. The nusach of Shmoyne Esrei Shabbos morning is all Loshon Zohar when it mentions Shabbos. The nusach of Musaf Shabbos morning is all feminine. Tikanto Shabbos rotzisa korbinoseho. Tzivisa perusheho im sidure nisocheho. Okay, the nusach of Musaf, when you daven Musaf, the subject of Shabbos is feminine. When you daven Shacharis, the nusach of the Tefillah Shacharis is masculine. Oh, then Friday, then you say, okay, we have a seinu. That's only you daven vo, von. Okay. There are certain things that are Zohar Nekeva. I'll give you another example. The moon and the sun. The Yerach, there are two words to define the moon. Yerach and, Yoreach and Levono. Levono is feminine. Yoreach is masculine. There are two terms to describe the sun. The Chamo and the Shemesh. Shemesh is masculine and chamo is feminine. The neshama, go to a cemetery. Half of the graves, yotso nishmosoi, biyoim so and so, and yotso on nishmoso. Is it the neshama of even a male? Is it the word neshama masculine or feminine? Both. It's used both ways. There are certain words, there are certain objects. The sun, I just showed you, the sun. What?
You can't.
You don't say it like that. But you say the word. Let's say for a man. Okay, for a woman, a man you're always gonna say blush and zoch. But for a woman, the neshama of a male and a female. I can't give you this moment examples, but
there
it's
are,
yeah.
Two forms of that word.
There are two. Is the neshama? Neshamois. That's feminine, right?
There's no other form,
right? All right, okay. But let's accept that there are definitely words. The Gemara says beferish. Derech.
Nefesh.
No, maybe nefesh. There's a nefesh and neshama.
And even
there. Nefesh and neshama, okay. But there are certain terms, Shabbos is used both masculine and feminine. Okay? Shabbos can be used both ways. The Gemara says explicitly derech can be, it's a Kefirish Gemara. Derech in Masechet Kedushin. Derech is sometimes in the Pasuk, this is used like the father of everything, the word derech, because Kefirish Gemara. The word derech is zohar and sometimes it's nekeva. A word is not always locked in to being a zohar or a nekeva. Okay, but let's go slow. Okay, that was just a hakdama. In the Hebrew language, there is an extreme complexity in separation between Zohar and Nekeva. Now, it doesn't say this in the book, but I want to just expand upon what we said yesterday from the Rambam. The language is called Lashon HaKodesh, holy. Why is it holy? So we learned yesterday the Ramchal and the Ramban. The Ramban goes, he goes to bat for this, and he goes to task, and the Ramban, he quotes the Rambam, and he's very, very disturbed with the Rambam, and anyone that says like the Rambam, And I think most of us are brought up with the Hashkafa of the Ramban, and that is the reason why it's holy, is because it is the building blocks, the letters of the Aleph Beis, the holy language, is the building blocks of creation. It is Hashem's language. It is as holy as it gets. It's intrinsically holy. The holiness is the essence of the language. It's not a convention. It's not something that people have come together and taken a vote in Congress and the House of Representatives to decide, yes, we're gonna have daylight savings times, we're gonna adjust the calendar. No. The language is divine. It is intrinsically holy. Kodesh means sacred. Sacred beyond our comprehension.
And it's just be the same HaKadosh. Kodesh is the big dust, like in Arabic, Al-Quds, which is a Shalayim. And when the rest of the people spoke Aramaic, the language, the Beis HaMikdash remained Hebrew.
Correct. In holy places, you speak only in the holy language. In the Beis HaMikdash, you're only allowed to speak Lashon HaKodesh. In Shul, there are people that are Makbid. In the Beis HaKnesses, you only speak Lashon HaKodesh. We mentioned yesterday the Shloah. The Shloah says something very frightening. That when the person is on his deathbed, and he's putting his house in order, and speaking to his children, giving them his last will and testament, he should only speak to them the last moments of his life in Lashon HaKodesh. Although your mother tongue may be English, Yiddish, whatever it is, the moment of Yitzias Neshama, when the last communication you have, only Lashon HaKodesh. It is intrinsically holy. We discussed this yesterday. This is what says the Ramban. The Ramban is very big on this. And we are very much influenced by the Ramban. This is our Hashkafa 100%. And this, the Ramchal also goes to town with the Kedusha of this Hashem's language. However, the Rambam says a tremendous Chiddush. That the reason why he doesn't go down that, not that the Rambam denies what the Ramban says, Chas v'Shalom, but the Rambam just gives a different perspective, that you don't need to come on to the Mahalich, that the language itself is Hashem's language, but you can also focus on the fact that it is designated. There's something unique about it. There's a unique element about it that we call it holy. Why? So the Rambam says one part is because there are no vulgar words, and there are no words for things that we in our Torah Hashkafa understand should be tsanua. There are things in our Hara Hashkafa, tsnius. There are things, yofet tsnius, it's proper. And what are those things? Reproduction, the organs of reproduction, and the act of reproduction. And this particular language as an expression of holiness, because reproduction is a davasha b'kedusha, we understand this. There are no words. And if you want to go describe these words, you have to borrow other language, other words.
Also
Beis HaKise, exactly. Beis HaKise. Why do we call it Beis HaKise? So people think it means there's a chair. That's vulgar.
No.
The people, yes, why is it called the Beis HaKise? Because there's a chair. First of all, in ancient times, there was no chair, okay? Ancient times, the Beis HaKise did not have a chair, and it was on an angle. It was a room on an angle. There was no chair. It's a new thing, a chair. This is the modern convention. The reason why it's called the Beis HaKise is because it's the bias which enables you to make a bracha, which you mention the Kisei HaKavoid. People don't know that. They think, you know why it's called the Beis HaKise? Because in that room there's a chair that has a hole in the middle. That's disgusting. That's a vulgar thing. That's a disgusting, amateurish, narish thing to think. That's how you think, that's how you talk. You talk, there's a room in there, there's a chair, and there's a hole in the chair. Ugh, disgusting. That's how a Yiddish person talks about the restroom. The goyim have a sensitivity to call it. Yeah, there are 100 words for this room: the lavatory, the restroom, the men's room,
sherutim.
Okay, there are many different words. When we use the term Beis HaKise, if you're a religious Jew, it means this room is a room which allows us, enables us to mention the Kisei HaKavoid.
B'shem u'malchus. By the way, in Israel, they used to call it Beit HaKavod also.
Beis HaKavod. The Beis HaKavod. That could be a euphemism in a way. Oh, that could be a euphemism. What is the Beis HaKavod? That could be like a euphemism. A euphemism. Oh, but that's another pshat. So everything is subject to interpretation. All right, Baisa. Kodesh does Kodesh the Adam. Isn't it amazing? You turn on the radio, you talk about these things, the language is just shocking. And especially with wokeism in this crazy woke world, what goes on over here, the whole world, they're busy the whole day, which bathroom should you go into? Crazy world. And Chazal, you know how they describe these things? V'ha'odam yoda ashave ishtoi. That speaks volumes. Someone should get up in Congress and explain, say, read the Bible. Why don't you read the Bible, you people? It says, v'ha'odam, you're teaching children explicitly garbage when they're teaching children. All these going on, and the federal and the FBI, they have nothing better to do than to use their power to intimidate and to threaten parents that they should teach pure, innocent children the most disgusting garbage in the world. Read the Bible. Look how Hashem describes this activity. V'ha'odam yoda eschava ishtai. That speaks volumes. And the people who disagree with this, it just goes to show that it's a melchemes Hashem. Getting back to our topic. Rabbi, please, look. No. So I just want to add to this nekuda. Just like the Rambam says, that the reason why it's holy, forget about mysticism, the building blocks of creation. You know why it's holy? Because in this language, there are no words that describe things that require sensitivity. That's what the Rambam says. Expand that concept. What does it say in Parashas Kidoshim? Kidoshim tiyu. Ki kodosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. And goes on to talk to the Parsha of Arayos. Man and woman. And Rashi says, Kol mokoim sha'ato moitze geder erva sham ato moitze kidusha. Any place that you will find in this world, whether it's in the Torah, whether it's in the world of reality, you'll find a separation between man and woman, that's where you will find holiness. So the reason I'm suggesting why this is an expansion of the Rambam, the reason why this language is called a holy language is because there is no other language, I trust what it says here in this book, that has the complexity and sophistication of geder erva, a separation between male and female in multiple dimensions. And being that Chazal is an explicit Rashi, kol mokom she'ato moitze geder erva shom ato moitze kedusha, being that this is the language that goes to an extreme in separating male against female, the male, that is Kedusha. So therefore we call this language a language that's holy. It's very simple. Now, I didn't see anyone say this, but it seems super, super simple to explain, the Rambam says, because you don't have words describing reproduction. Well, it's the same concept. There's a separation. There's a Zohar, there's an Akeva, and make sure you know your grammar, make sure you know all the inflections, make sure you know how to go and nuance each word with the proper grammar in the past, the future, and the seven binyanim, and know the object, the subject of Zohar and Akeva, and make sure you figure out how to say it properly, and keep a clear, distinct separation of Zohar and Akeva. That makes it holy. That's a sensitivity of sanctity. Okay. That is one prat. Now I want to go to the knockout punch. Now, in this sefer, he devotes an enormous amount of time and space to this principle, and he explains, what's tacha going on? What's the pshat? All of the languages, they don't care for this. They don't bother with this. He, her, this, they'll take crazy with the pronouns, hol meshagas. They don't bother with this. They don't bother with zohar and akeva. It's all the same. Why tacha? Put aside what we just said about kedusha. Why? Why is the Torah so makbid to create such complexity in Zohar Nekev? We learned yesterday, Ramchal says that Lashon HaKodesh It's the simplest. The Pashtusai. It is simple. All the languages are too complicated. Don't make everything in this world so complicated. It's meant to be simple and easy. It's the simplest language. Yeah, it may be simple in definitions, but when it comes to Zohar in a cave, it's not so simple. It's pretty complex. Why? If the whole nature of the language is to be very simple, why are we burdening man with being fluent in the complexities of adapting the language into Zohar in a cave? So he says a Yesoid. And you know, it's an obvious Yesoid, but until you really appreciate it, it's not so obvious. What is the chilik between a Zohar and a Keva? Okay, there's a lot of stuff in there. Let's just go to the basics. The basic difference is the Zohar in the Olam of Hashkafa is the Noisein, is the giver. And an Isha is a Mikabel. That is a super oversimplified concept. But we need this concept. We need to appreciate this concept. There's a giver and a taker. A Mashpia and a Mushpa. Noisein Mikabel, one who gives and one who receives. In the big picture, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the giver. Hashem gives. Hashem gives us everything. Hashem created this world. Hashem created us. Hashem provides parnasa, provides health, provides us with everything. Hashem is the Noisein. Olam Chesed Yibaneh. The world is built on the principle of giving. Hashem gives. Hashem wanted to give every neshama, bring it directly into Gan Eden, but Hashem realized the neshama would not have benefit, would be embarrassed because it did not earn its keep. So Hashem gave us an opportunity to earn our keep. That is also an act of giving. Giving us an opportunity to earn our place in the next world, to deserve it. That's also a concept of giving. Hashem just gives. And what are we? We're takers. We take. That's the world in general. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to man, I want you to be like me. Man is created in the Tzelem Elohim. So I want to give you an opportunity to know what it's like to also give. Even though ultimately you're getting everything, you're a taker, you're a Makabel. But be like Hashem. Hevei doimeloi. Also, let me give you an opportunity in this world to give. Be a provider. Have a wife. Provide for your wife. Have children. Provide for them. Do things in this world where you give. And then there are people who are, I mean, there are elements where a person has no choice but to be on the receiving end. This is a principle that exists in the Bria from beginning, the most elementary concept of humanity, of the purpose of this world, is the giver and the receiver. It is fundamental to creation. I'll give you, he says over here, a beautiful, beautiful example. The word earth. How many words are there for the word earth? There are many words. Okay, there's Eretz, there is Ofar, Adama, at least three words. What?
Tevel.
A what?
Tevel.
Tevel, right, Tevel, very good, right, correct. But let's focus on two words for this moment. Ofar and Adama. Why those two words? Because it says the Pasuk, Hashem took Ofar min ho'adama. Hashem took, Vayikach, what's the Pasuk? Ofar min ho'adama, and Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. Why does the Torah have to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created man, he took Ofar min ho'adama? That is a complex expression. Just say Hashem, he took Adama, or he took Ofar, or whatever. You figure out how to write the pasuk in a symbol. What's this concept? So you need something. Okay, so we need this. Adam, there is Enosh.
Dirt
so,
and ground are two different things.
Oh, what's the difference? Yeah. What's the difference?
If it's on the ground, if it's lying down, that's the ground, but if it's removed, it's dirt.
Ofar, you say Ofar is not attached? Ofar min huadama. You're saying an idea. I don't know if it's 100% correct. I hear what you're saying, But he says, either ayin panim l'toira. I'm not so sure that is.
Chol
is sand. It's a certain type. It's a type of earth. What's this meaning in the pasuk of our minhag? Okay, there are many answers to this question. You're saying an idea, and there are many ideas. Let me present to you what he says in this sefer. Ofar is always masculine. Adama is feminine. You study Tanakh, you go through the whole Tanakh, you'll always see the word Adama is a hay at the end, but that's not even the main read. But Adama is feminine. Ofar is masculine. Let's go back to the sun and the moon. Let's take a detour and we'll come back off Minu Adama. The sun, is the sun a male or a female? A simple question, right? Go to Congress. Can you define a woman? Can you define the sun? Is the sun a male or is the sun a female? Okay, go ask this to a congressman or a congresswoman. Is the sun male or is the sun a female? How do you identify the sun? Is the moon male or is the moon female?
But that will be the proof that we shouldn't be differentiating.
Okay, one thing anyway. What is the moon? Well, we have a very big problem because the Torah uses two different terms to define the sun and the moon. The Torah uses the word shemesh, which, if you study Tanakh, you will see that it is always exclusively masculine. It's used in a masculine context. Whereas the word levana is exclusively used in Tanakh in the feminine. The chama. Sun is shemesh and chama. Chama is feminine and shemesh is masculine. Well, it's the same object. Is it masculine or feminine? Levana. Levana is feminine, but Yoreach is masculine. So make up your mind. Is the sun a male or is the sun a female? Is the moon a male or a female? We have a contradiction. We have two different words which are describing the same object. So what is it? So the answer is, well, what is Zohar? What is Nekeva? Zohar represents the principle of giving. Don't look at Zohar as physical reproductive organs.
Anatomy.
Don't look at anatomy. Look at the concept. The concept of a zohar is a principle of a provider. A nekeva represents the principle of receiving. Okay, in anatomy, everything is, there are parallels across the board, and even the symbols of a zohar is an arrow, pretty much, and the symbol of a female is a circle, a makabel. Okay, the arrow goes in the circle. There's a noisein and a makabel, and this is a principle which applies in hashkafa. The moon serves a double role. On the one hand, when it comes to light, the moon doesn't have any light. It has nothing to offer. There are no gases, it's dead, it's a rock. So how come at night, in the middle of the month, you see a full moon, you see this bright, this flashlight? Someone left the lights on in the sky. Someone's wasting electric up there. Someone left the lights on in the sky. What happened over there? That's not the sun giving, the moon giving off its own light. It is reflecting the light, it's just being makabel. It is reflecting the light of the sun. The moon is female. Because the moon,
it's being makabel and it's also being
nice. It's not giving noisein. It's very little. But relatively speaking, the moon has nothing to offer. The moon is just reflecting light that it has received. It be'etzem is a makabel. It's a makabel of the light. The light that we benefit from is just borrowed. The moon, it has nothing of its own. It's just a receiver of someone else's light. So when we look at the moon relative to the sun, compare the moon to the sun as a giver. The shemesh and the levana. The levana is a makabel. So it's a female. The moon is a female. It's a makabel. V'zehu On the other hand, what does it say in Rashi? Rashi in Chumash says, what is the purpose for the Mo'oris HaGedoylem? Hashem created my Sibereshis. You know, this that it says that to give light, Rashi says, the Oid, secondary. That's a secondary thing. You know what the main purpose of the Levana is? To calculate when the Mo'adim, Gzuda, will fall out. The moon is a giver. The moon provides us with guidance. When should it be Pesach? When should it be Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot? The Mo'adim. The moon is our guide. It is our teacher. It is our instructor. V'hayu lo'osois ulim mo'adim. The Mo'oros HaGedolos, the primary function, Rashi says, is to provide instruction through the moon and the sun, the calculations. Oh, we know when Pesach will be this year. We know when we know if we should make Iber HaChodesh, Iber HaShana. The moon is a noisein. It's called Yoreach.
But Rabbi, isn't the determination of Zohar and Teva based upon its usage in Tanakh?
Yes. So there are two usages in Tanakh. There's the word Yoreach.
It's not logical, it's just as it
is. There's a word in Tanakh. There are two different words throughout Tanakh used to define the moon. Sometimes it says Yoreach. And sometimes it says Chamo. Levana. So whenever the pasuk says the word Yoreach, it is always B'li Yoytze Min HaKlal used in the masculine form. The words surrounding the word Yoreach are always masculine, which indicates that the word Yoreach is a zohar. The word Levana exclusively, B'chol HaTanach, the words surrounding the word Levana are always feminine words, which indicate, without a shadow of a doubt, that the word Levana is a feminine term.
What does that have to do with the context of the
pasuk? Yes, that is the context of the pasuk. What do you mean? That is the context. Yes, that is exactly.
In those contexts, is it always showing, when it says Yoreach, that it's something that is a giving part of the moon? And when it says Levana, it's in context saying...
Of the Makabel? Well, The answer basically is yes. You have no choice but to work backwards and make sure that's what it means in that pasuk. Because the word Yoreach is Zohar and the word Levana is Nekeva. Always, B'li Yoytze Min HaKlal. Okay, so that's right. You have a lot of work to do. That's right. Some of these words, he says, this word appears in Tanakh 1,600 times. Check it out. He tells you exactly how many times these words appear. And then he shows you the one place, he shows you from 1,000 times, the one place where it's in violation of the rule. And he shows you a machlekes to Ibn Ezra and Rashi. And he goes, he does that 8 times here to show you one exception and to show you because of the one exception, Rashi couldn't live with himself. And he reconstructs the pshat of the pasuk to make it work out 100%. And Ibn Ezra disagrees with Rashi. It's all too much stuff for my mind to comprehend. But let's just do the basic yesodos. It's incredible what it says. The Levana is an object. Is this object male or female? There are two words. There's Yoreach and Levana. Yoreach is Zohar, Levana is feminine. What's the pshat? So he says the pshat is because the Levana has a dual role. A dual role in this world. On the one hand, right at the beginning of creation, it says, Vayula Oisois Ula Mo'adim, the primary function of the Levana is to give instruction to Klal Yisrael when to establish the Mo'adim. Memela, the Yoreach, is a provider. It is giving us something. A provider is always the concept of a Zohar. Mitzat Sheni, when it comes to the the Oid Zois. You know what else the Shemesh and the Reach do? They provide light. That's a secondary function of the sun and the moon. Light? Yeah, the Shemesh gives light, and the Levana is Mekabel. Mekabel? You call the Levana. Levana is feminine. Feminine is the Mekabel. Okay, let me give you another example. I'll give you a wild. This doesn't say.
What would be the point of the sun being feminine? When is the sun?
So what is the sun? Very good. He doesn't explain that here, but I'm confident that the sun has a role. I don't know the answer, but I'm reading. The sun has a dominant of giving. It provides light, but the sun. Rashi says that when the sun is lakah. Maybe you want to say that when Rashi says that when the sun. Rashi says, what's the purpose of the Ma'aris HaGedolos? Vayu le'oisois ulemo'adim. Rashi says, le'oisois, that when the sun is loko, when the sun, what? Gedolos, yeah, no?
Gedolim.
I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Gedolim. Okay, Gedolim. When the sun is loko, it's a bad sign. It's a bad sign for the world. When the sun is smitten, when the sun is a sun, and the sun is an eclipse, it's loka. So when the sun is loka, it's being makabel. No, it's bare. It's being affected. I don't know. Yes, a good question. Maybe Hitaka says I didn't pay attention. I didn't read it so carefully. I have no doubt. Let me give you another example. One, he doesn't say that. It says over here, he goes through a lot of different words and he shows this principle. Let's talk about the word kavod, honor. The word kavod appears in Tanakh numerous times. Every single time, except for one, and that's, let's make believe, let's put that aside, because he has a whole discussion. Rashi, Taka says it's not even one. Rashi learns Pshat in the Pasuk there that it's 100%. The word kavod is always, b'li yoytze min haklal, masculine. Masculine. Now think about it. When was the last time you went to a yeshiva dinner?
They honored the woman.
And they gave honor to a person. Mm-hmm. What do they do when they give him honor? They praise him. They give him a Chanukah menorah. They give him. They give him kavod. They give him bezyonos. They give him a gift. They give him. Kavod is something you receive. No? So wouldn't you expect, based upon this principle, the principle that we have presented, that the rule, when you look at a word, you look at masculine, feminine, don't think about anatomy. Don't think about grammar. Think about the principle. A zohar is a giver. A nekeva is a receiver. When you kavod is something that you get. I got kavod. You get an aliyah. They call you for an aliyah. I got a kibud.
You don't get kavod. Somebody's giving you.
Oh, say it better. Chazal tell us, Ezehu mechubad hamechabed. The real kavod in life is not to get kavod. The real Chazal taught, why is kavod lashon zohar? Why? Kavod at face value should be lashon nekeva. Because kavod is something that you get. I got a kibud. They gave me maftir yoina. They gave me chosin Torah. What? Get a kibud. Under the chuppah, you go to a wedding. They gave me the bracha of bracha achrita. Under the chuppah, they gave me the ksuba. They gave me, I got a kibud. You got. No. That's not covered. Ezehu mechubad ha-mechabed. That's make-believe covered. When you get covered, you're a girly man. Remember Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yeah. You're a girly man. If you go to a wedding and they're giving you a kibud, they're making you a man. Kavod, that's lashon zohar in Tanakh. They're distorting it and they're making it into a zehu mechubad. What's the real kavod? Kavod is lashon zohar. Hamechabed. When you give kavod.
The kavod is only belongs to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Any
Hashem gives kavod.
Comes from him.
Hashem gives. It's all from the noisin. Kavod we got. So that's not now. Okay. Now with that example, let's now go back to man. Adam, zohar unikeva bira'um. Hashem created humanity, zohar unikeva. What does that mean? So he says here something that blew my mind. I think this is his own idea. The Machaber, the Levi Lynchner. I believe he sees. I think he says it says in the pasuk Hashem created Adam, ofar min ho'adama. What is the earth? So there's ofar, there's adama, there's eretz, there's choil, there's tevel, Okay, there's a whole long list of words. But the Torah selected two words when it describes the creation of man. Ofar and Adama. Take out a concordance and study the word Adama and you will discover every single time the word Adama appears in Tanakh, it is surrounded by words that are feminine. Adama is a feminine term of the earth. Take out a concordance and study the word Ofar. Every single time the word Ofar appears, it is surrounded by words that are masculine. Hashem took Ofar min ho'adama and created man. What does that mean? The earth is a makabel and is a noisim. The earth needs rain. A synthesis. The earth has different elements. There is an element in the earth of it being Adama. What is Adama? It's a makabel. It's needy. It has needs. It needs someone to take out the weeds. It needs rain. It needs fertilizer. It needs tender, loving care. It's needy. Mitzad Sheni, the earth, is a provider. Look what it produces. It produces Esev, Hasodeh. It produces fruits, vegetables, trees, nutrients. It's a provider. So what is the earth? Sit down, your local congressman, and ask him, tell me, is the earth a male or a female? What is the earth? It's both. It's a provider, and it is a needy being. It's a makabel. When Hashem made man, so did Hashem take from man the element of the zohar, or did he take the element of the earth, of the feminine? Hashem took them both. Humanity is an organism. Zohar and Nekeva, is where in a myriad of dimensions does man provide and man receive. Okay, on the more, a parent is a provider for a child. But when the parent gets old, more often than not, the children provide for the parent. A male, a husband, provides for the wife, generally speaking. Or at least, even if maybe the wife provides the finances, but very often the guidance, the strength, a woman very often, even a woman who provides parnasa, very often she looks to her husband for support, guidance. There's a certain element that a man has that even if a man is dirt poor and his wife is a multimillionaire, she still married him. She still sees something in him that she needs. Okay, I know there are exceptions, but generally, a man is a source of guidance. There's an element of giving that a man has, and a woman is, the nature of a woman is to be a makabel. And in life, there are people who give. Every person, like there are people, you know, you hear this every so often. There are people their whole life they never took anything from anyone. They never, they're givers. And then it comes a point in their life where they're frail and they're old, and you hear this every so often. The people that are close, you know, you gave your whole life, but you have to understand you're now at a time in your life. You have to learn now to take, to accept.
And it's very hard.
You have to accept. You're not able to care for yourself. You need help. You have to let people help you. There's a different tikkuf in your life. The whole world is there are tikkufos of giving and tikkufos of accepting. And it's always, of course, better to be the noisein. That's the goal. But there are times when a person has to know how to take. Okay, it's a complicated world. Hashem made man with that in mind. In man, there are elements in man where he knows that his duty and responsibility is to give. That's the offer. Ofar is Zohar. And there are times that man has to know how to take. That's the Adama. Hashem created. Hashem was a designer. in Tzayir Kitsureinu. Hashem designed man, what? Ofar min ho'adama. The Ofar, the Zohar from the Nekeva. Hashem took Adama, but he took from the Adama an element of Zachrus. And he, Vayitzer, he took those two elements to create Adam. Zohar unikeva bira'am. The Zohar element in the Ofar with the feminine element of the Adama is humanity in multiple dimensions. So you go back to the language. When you go back to the Hebrew language, it's interesting. When you look at something and you look at something, other languages, they don't care. Other languages, again, I don't know any other language, so I can't speak for other languages, but I trust what he says. Other languages, this is not an issue. They're not focused. Other societies in this world, they're selfish. It's not nice to say. Go look at the world, see what goes on in the world. There are different degrees of selfishness. There are nations that are outright deniers of God's existence. There is a lack of appreciation of the principle, there's a noisein and a makabel. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the ultimate noisein, and we are the ultimate makabel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man an opportunity in this world by being created b'tzalmoi to imitate Hashem and to attempt to live a life where you're a noisein, and to appreciate that there are times in your life you have no choice but to be a makabel. And every single person to a degree has in him an element of being a noisein, an element of being a makabel in different tekufos. Just like the Shemesh has a chama, and just like the Yoreach has a Levana. Shabbos, what is Shabbos? Shabbos is Zohar Nekeva. Shabbos came to the Ribbono Shel Olam and complained. There are 7 days in the week. It's an odd number. All of the days of the week have a zug, have a pair. That opens up a whole new world. There are days of the week, and one day of the week is the noisein to the other day of the week. That's the makabel. There are 6 days in the week. There are many different ways you can look at it. You can study that. Which day is the noisein to the other day. And it goes both ways. But Shabbos is the odd man out. So what is Shabbos? So Hashem says you have a bazug. Who's your zug? Klal Yisrael. And what does that mean? It goes both ways. Mitzad Echad, Shabbos is the Mekabel. Klal Yisrael, they invest. Vayekadesh es Yom Hashvi. Klal Yisrael gives to Shabbos. Shabbos is mekabel the kedusha that Klal Yisrael injects. It's nekeva mechallel leho mos yumas. But mitzad sheni, more than a Jew keeps the Shabbos keeps the Jew. The Shabbos gives us. It's the noisein. Bo velo nisato velo hinchalto v'gam b'menucha soy. Shabbos keeps the Jew. Yeah?
I just make an hour between Shemesh and Chama. Because Hashachar, Shabbos, in the morning we say, Horel Hashemesh, Reizachar. On the weekday you say, Kilbar, 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 Chama.
Aha. So during the week, Shabbos, we focus on that, the element of the noisein. The Shemesh is a noisein. During the week, there's a degree of being makabel. Okay, that's a hard thing to appreciate. But Shabbos is not so hard to appreciate. We understand that we make Shabbos. That's the purpose of Shabbos. Shabbos me'ein olam haba. You create your Shabbos. You create your olam haba. Give Shabbos sanctity. Because the sanctity that you give Shabbos is what you have in the next world. You have to, Shabbos is just a receptacle that's waiting for you in this world to inject it with sanctity. We are the noisein to Shabbos, that's the Mekabel. And that's going to be our place in the next world.
Isn't
Shemesh Zohar? Shemesh only Zohar.
Yeah, so but it's on Shabbos. Shabbos is
Okay, so Shabbos has two elements, but Shabbos is also Zohar. The Nusach of Shacharis is purely Zohar. And you say in Shachar, you say Bo, not Bo. The whole Nusach is Zohar. Why? Because like we said before, only you give to Shabbos. Shabbos gives you a lot more than you give to Shabbos. Again, the expression, more than the Jew keeps to Shabbos, the Shabbos keeps the Jew. Shabbos is a noisein. There are different, it's multi-dimensional. Now, here's a beautiful thing that he says. This is unbelievable. Probably the word that is the mother of all, see, the sun is an object, and we have two different terms. But sometimes you have a word, and the word can either be used masculine or feminine. And what is the prime example, the mother of all examples? Derech. The Gemara says, Derech, Matsinu Derech, Ikri Lashon Zohar, Matsinu Derech, Ikri Lashon Nekeva. The Gemara in Masechta Kedushin tells you, what's the pshat? What is a derech? It's a road. What is a road? When the chassan goes to the kala, so the derech is just a means of look at it like this. There's a road. The chassan is the male, right? And he's coming to the kala. So look at it from the perspective. Look at the road from the perspective of the noisei. I want to go and give a gift to my kala. I want to go. So I need to get, I'm the noisin. The man is the noisin. I have a gift to give to my kala. I want to go to give it to her. So I'm the noisin. The derech, I look at the road, is the means, the tool that is available for me to travel and reach my destination and provide. The kala, the female, the Isha, my chassan is coming. He will be arriving in an hour, going on a date. He's coming to pick me up. When she looks at the street, at the road, from her perspective, the road is a tool that will enable her to receive. A derech is the conduit between the noisein and the mekabel. Each one of the members of this team looks at that conduit as being on their team. It's either the source of their Kabbalah, or it's the source, it's the tool of being enabling me to be the Noisein. That's why the word Derech can be both a Zohar and a Nekeva. You have the giver and the receiver. But in between the giver and the receiver, there is a road. And that road enables the transmission of the goods. So from the perspective of the giver, the road is on my team. It's an enabler. It allows me to give. From the perspective of the receiver, the road is the tool which allows me to receive. It's the tool. So therefore, each one looks at that neutral road from their perspective. And they're both right. And that's why the word derech, which is the conduit, the path between the giver and the receiver, can be both a Zohar and a Keva, because it's the enabler for the giver to give and for the receiver to receive. So it can be used both ways. You look at nouns, you look at the sun and the moon, so there that's not a means, an enabler, that is the object itself. Are you a giver or a receiver? Well, the moon, we explained, does both. On the one hand, it provides guidance when it should be the holiday. It's giving information. It's using itself as a way to provide. Mitzat Sheni, when you want to go look at its physical elements, that it has light, it has no light. It's fake. When you look at the moon in the sun, the sky in the sun, at night, you don't see its own light. You see it. You see the light of the sun. It's a mekabel. So then, it has two dimensions. Mitzad, two different functions. Because that is at least there's a lot more about this. But at least this is to summarize. We start with the Rambam. The Rambam says that the holy language don't focus on the fact, the mystical element. It's holy because there are no vulgar words, no words to describe things that require tznius. We expanded upon that by taking note that said that it's also holy because of the separation of male and female. Kol makom shatam motzei geder erev ad shamotei motzei kedusha. And then we discussed an entirely different approach, and that is to appreciate in the religious, in the hashkafa, the critical importance of appreciating the noisein and the makabel. To be a religious Jew, you have to know that there is the ultimate noisein, the Baal Habira. And only Klal Yisrael has that keen, intense appreciation. And that's why the language is intensely broken down into Zohar and Nekeva to constantly remind us the principle of noisein and makabel. Every time you look at a word, a concept, look at its tent, look at its form, its gender, and it opens up a world of commentary. Kavod. Kavod is something that you receive. No, you don't. That's fake kavod. Ezel mechubot hamechabed. Give kavod. Oh, that's why the word kavod is exclusively used in the masculine sense. That's real kavod. To give. Don't be a girly man and look to get kavod. The word kavod is zohar, give kavod. Shabbos is used in the nusach ha-tefillah, besides Tanakh, zohar nekeva. Why? There are two elements in Shabbos. It's what we make, what we invest in it, what we give it. Mitzad sheni, look what it does for us. When it comes to Shemesh and the Levana, we also gave an example of the dual nature. Man, Afar min huadam. Okay, there are many more examples. There's a lot on this stuff, but this is basically the synopsis of this chapter of the appreciation of the holy language, Zohar and Nekeva. All right, everybody have a wonderful day.